priests and temples. And we ended up helping you understand that you are a priest. Say, I am a priest. All right, and this week, as we so we got to a point that we realized that there are things that priests do, but you know, there is a tendency for your priesthood to shake in your mind if you don't know how you became a priest or who made you a priest. Praise God, church. Praise God. So who did we call ourselves? We are priests, but there is another one that is above us. He's called high. Church, he's called high. Church, are we together? He's called high. High priest, there is this high priest. Let us look at the scriptures. Let's look at the scriptures. We are looking at Hebrews chapter. We are looking at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. We started off in this series last week. We said priests do something. What do priests do? Before you go to Hebrews chapter 9, go to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1. Hebrews 5, verse 1. For every... Verse 1, for every high priest is taken from amongst men, is ordained for men in things pertaining to, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. So we said that the high priest is the one that serves men. In his serving men, he is serving God. So when you hear high priest, you are talking about a man that serves. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. And so we see that in the Old Testament, we saw that there were high priests in the Old Testament. How many people know the high priest, the number first high priest we saw in the Old Testament? His name is Aaron. Aaron was the high priest in the Old Testament. What was the problem with Aaron's high priesthood? The problem with Aaron's priesthood was that he is a man that can die. Amen. Church, amen. All right, so let's look at it together. Look at what I just said now is in Hebrews 7:23. I will start to read from 22 so that you can catch up with me. By so much was Jesus made a surety. He was made a what? What do you know how many people know a surety? A guarantor of a better testament. Are you in verse 22? Church, are you with your Bibles today? So by so much was Jesus made a surety of a... Why is that testament standing that you can boast about that testament? Is it about what you do or a Jesus that is the surety? A Jesus, that's what that place is saying to you. He now says, this is the reason why you must understand this life that you are in. It tells us in verse 23, and they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of, are you there, by reason of, so the high priest of the Old Testament was someone that was subject to die. That was the problem. Look at verse 24, but this man, say we have a man. Come on, say we have a man. Because if you don't know why your priest, if you don't know what Jesus has done, you will not know why your priest will be sure. It says, but this man, because he continues, okay, I'm using KJV. Because he continues forever, he forever continued. And anyway, you want to say it. Jesus continues. So the priesthood of Jesus, is it forever? Yes. The high priesthood of Jesus, is it forever? He now says he continues forever. He had an unchangeable priesthood. Amen. So this Jesus has a priesthood that will not change. What he did is what he's doing, he will continually do. The priesthood does not change. Are we together? Look at verse 2. What is the priesthood guaranteeing in verse 25? Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. See that he forever, there is a before intercede, he forever liveth. Amen. So we have a high priest that is not like the high priest of the old, who is Aaron. The high priest of the old had one issue. The high priest of the old was entering a temporary temple and he was a temporal high priest. Are you getting the point here? That's what we're trying to say. Now, Jesus demand. Look at the book of Hebrews 9, verse 11. But Christ. So we have established something here. Jesus has an unchanging priesthood. Jesus is the high priest that has an unchanging priesthood. And under his high priesthoodship, you are a priest. Can we get a believing amen? Amen. So if Jesus has an unchanging priesthood, who else has an unchanging priesthood? By virtue of connection. All right, brilliant. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. So who is the one that qualifies you for ministry? Jesus. By his death and resurrection, by his high priesthoodship, you are forever a priest. Amen and amen. Amen. Church, amen and amen. Say, I have a man. I have a priest. I have a high priest. Say, he lives in me. Yeah, yeah. Our high, ever present, ever able. There is no assignment that the high priest does not go with the priest. Amen. Look at verse 11. Hebrews 9, 11. But Christ being come an high priest of what? Good things to come. By a greater and more perfect. Stop. What is the title of this teaching? Priest and temples. So we are now looking at the high priest. The Bible is telling us that this high priest entered a perfect tabernacle. It must mean Aaron was operating in a tabernacle that was not perfect, that was not complete. So now Jesus, by the writer in Hebrews, the writer in Hebrews is telling us what Jesus did, tells us that Jesus, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of these building. So when we look at Aaron, can we also see his physical temple? Yes, we can. But he says where Jesus entered is not a physical building that you can see. Where is the temple that Jesus entered? Jesus entered the hearts of men. Can we get a believing amen? Amen. Where is Jesus serving time? Where is he doing his job? Where is his place of permanent residence? Amen. Where is his office? The office of Aaron was a physical temple. The office of Jesus is your heart. Can we get a believing amen? So there is nothing like Jesus leaves us because he shows up for work. He lives at work. Jesus is a workaholic. Can we get a believing amen? Amen. Praise God. Look at, it says in verse 12, it is not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. And I've told you many times here that the blood is a symbol of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Can you remember that? Blood is a type for life. Amen. When you talk about the blood, it's talking about the action, the life of God, or the life of Christ. It says, so when we say the blood of Jesus, we are talking about the work of Jesus done by the Spirit. Amen. Church, amen. You'll soon see there by yourself. It says, neither by the blood of goats and bulls. So when you see blood of goats and bulls, why did they kill goats and bulls in the Old Testament? Was it that God was interested in goats and bulls and blood, or God was trying to preach a message? Amen. If you read through the Bible, Isaiah, the Psalm, they will say to you, offerings, bulls and blood, I don't want. I never desired it. You know, when you read through, it looks like God is a bloodthirsty, bull-thirsty. No, it was all about a message. God was never interested in blood. God is not one that is looking for blood. God used that to tell them, to show them what he will do. Hold on, let me show you that. Look at the book of Hebrews chapter 8. Where is it there now? It says, offerings I desired not, but a body. It's in my brain somewhere, I don't know. But it's in the book of Hebrews. Offerings for sin thou art not desired, but a body. I have come to do thy will, O Lord. It's there. Amen? Amen? Preacher can check that out for me. It's there. God was never interested. Is this same thing? I just want to show you in Hebrews, isn't it? Is it?
It's in Hebrews 10, 8. It is also in Isaiah chapter 1. God has... That's correct. Hebrews 10, verse 8. Look at it. Just so that you understand. Look at verse 6. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, thou hast no... Thou hast no pleasure. Then he said, lo, I come in the volume of the books. It's written of me to do thy will, O God. That's also in Psalm 40. Look at it. Now says, and above he said, verse 8, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings for sin, thou will not have any pleasure. So when you see all those kill a bull, kill a ram, kill a goat in the Old Testament, God was trying to preach a message about his son that will come. Can we get a believing amen? Amen. Preaching it through the prophets. Can we get a believing amen? Amen. All right, now, so we are back here in verse 12 of Hebrews 9, 12. We're trying to get somewhere. That's why I'm fast. Neither that by the blood of bulls, so they meant nothing. The blood of goats and cows, but by his own blood, he entered how many times? He entered how many times? Where did Jesus enter? He entered once. Where did he enter? He entered the holy place. Where is the holy place? The heart of man is the holy place. So, you remember, it is priests and temples. So, when you hear temple, is actually in the Old Testament, you see a physical building. But that was a type and shadow of the temple. Say, I am the temple of God. Come on, I am the temple of God. He entered the holy place once. Having done what? I want you to be in verse 12. Having done what? Obtained. Church, what did he do? He entered once. In his entry once, what did he obtain? Temporary redemption or an eternal redemption? Eternal redemption means the redemption is not temporary. Amen? People struggle with this, but it's a truth regardless. Amen. 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 Why is it good news? It is good news because there is something called eternal redemption that Jesus has done. Yes. Hallelujah. And so, because if you don't know what Jesus has done, you cannot fulfill your priesthood under him, the high priest. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, follow this, follow Hebrews, who through the eternal, the blood of Christ, eternal, when you hear blood, what is he talking about? Spirit. Aaron will take blood into the temple. What does God take into the temple of man? Spirit. You get it. Spirit. Old Testament, what do you see? Blood. The reality, what do you see? Spirit. So this Hebrew guy is trying to say, all of those things you are seeing in Leviticus and Exodus, they were a message of an of what will happen, what God will come and do. When you see Genesis, Abraham on a mountain, a bull, Jehovah Jireh, God will provide salvation by himself. He does not need you to save you because you cannot save you. You see, all of those things are talking about what God will do. So finally, God has now come. Verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who is this Christ, your high priest, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God. That is why they will say, take a lamb without spot. You getting it now? It is just a message to say, take is to point to Jesus, the man without sin. He knew no sin. Yeah, that's why it was always a lamb. That's why when you take a lamb that has broken leg or something, they will not accept it. Because that's not a proper typology of a stainless Jesus. Are you getting the point? He offered himself without spot to God. I mean, verse 14. What did after the offering, after the spirit, when the spirit entered the heart, what did the spirit do? You can't miss it if you're following me. So in maybe New King James, you say cleanse. In KJV, you say purge. So what is the work of the Spirit? So this Jesus has come. Jesus has died. You know, if you don't know this thing, you cannot explain it. Jesus has come. Jesus has died. Jesus loves you. What does he really mean? He came into your heart. And what did he do to your heart? He purged it. He, you don't like purge because it's KJV. He cleansed it.
What do you mean by he actually cleansed it? Is it that Jesus now becomes like the dry cleaner inside your heart? Not particularly. It is just that Jesus is light. Your heart before him was darkness. So when he comes in, what happens to darkness? It goes away. That's it. So he purges our conscience. So there is something you need to be able to serve. You need light to serve. You need eternal life to serve. What is God's will for your life? To serve. But what do you need? You need a high priest that will qualify you to serve. So what did Jesus come to do? He came to qualify you to serve. How did he do that? He gave you life. Amen. Purge your conscience from dead works. You see what Jesus did there? You know what dead works are? The things that you do to try to impress God. Legalism. If I do this, then I'm going to be God's best friend. That's what Jesus came to change. So eternal life is actually Jesus coming to change your understanding. Amen. As sweet a little. You know, I first talked about him coming in as a spirit into your heart. But what is actually really happening is that eternal life hitting your heart is actually that God, Jesus, by the resurrection, gives you a new and the real perspective of God. Because the perspective man had of God was warped. Are you getting what I'm saying? So eternal life is actually an understanding. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. Imagine, so this is the perspective. You think I'm a suicide bomber, a terrorist, a man without self-control. That's what you used to think about me. Then someone comes in and shows you a perspective, the original perspective of me, that I'm kind, that I'm nice, and I also use you if you come to church, for example. Amen. So what has the person done? The person has given you an understanding of dial. Why? You had a wrong understanding. And because you have a wrong understanding, you cannot work for me. Are you getting the point now? Because if you are working for me, you most likely think, oh, the mindset is that he is not kind. He is not nice. So you cannot particularly spread and tell about the truth because you have a wrong perspective of me. Are you getting it? You cannot really do the work I want you to do because your perspective of me is wrong. So what is redemption? How God changes your perspective to the real perspective. John 17 verse 3. Eternal life. Who were you before? You were an enemy of God in your mind. And so, just like Adam, you cannot walk in Eden. You should understand what Eden really is talking about. Just like Cain, you cannot walk with Abel. Amen. Why? You cannot serve God with a wrong understanding. The first understanding that God wants you to have is to see him for who he is. Look at John 17, verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee only through God. Amen. And so they might know the only true God. And I, or another word in the Greek, it says, I mean, that they might know you, God. I am talking about Jesus Christ, whom thou hast. Yes. Look at 1 John 5:20. What did Jesus come to give us? He came as our priest, the high priest, to change our perspective of God. In changing our perspective of God, he calls it purging our conscience. Now we can serve. Are we in 1 John 5:20? I want you to be there. 1 John 5:20. I hope I'm not going too fast. I hope you can explain this thing to somebody else. Say, I have life. I have understanding of God. Look at 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God is come. And what has he done? He has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true.
And we are in him that is even his son, Jesus Christ. This is the true and what is eternal life? That you understand and know him. That's eternal life. But what man could not have that life. So God comes and demonstrates that life by his lifestyle, by his death, and by his resurrection. He comes and he now deals with your heart. Who was the enemy of God? Your heart. Amen. That's what the Bible tells us. Colossians 1. Look at verse 21. And you, are you you? Church, are you you?
Yes.
Colossians 1. Am I communicating or am I bugging? Colossians 1:21. All right. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies. Where is the enmity in your mind? So what was God's problem? God's issue was that you had a wrong mindset of him. It's all been about you think he's crazy. You think he's mad. You think he's against you. You just think God is the one pursuing you and God cannot use you to do his plan. So God comes and says, let me show you who I really am. Now you see who he really is. When you get it, what do you go on doing? Serving. What does serving mean? Showing that who God really is to other people. Are you getting the point now? Church, are you getting the point now? That is the whole essence of all we're talking about. Amen. Look at verse 21. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet has he reconciled. God used the message of his sacrifice, of his death and his resurrection to change your mind to see that he's not who you think he is. Amen. And by doing that, what do we know him as? He is the high priest. So this high priest, what has he bet? He has bet other priests. Can we get a believing amen? 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm picking up speed right now. Amen. 1 Peter 2. Are you in 1 Peter 2 now? Okay, look at verse 4. 1 Peter 2 verse 4. To whom coming also unto a living stone. Say Jesus is a living stone. He said, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also. Are you seeing it now? Ye also are lively. Ye also are lively. What does that mean? Jesus is the stone that made you a stone. Praise God. Jesus is the high priest that makes you a priest. Let me say it better since we're using stone. Jesus is the corner stone that makes you a stone. But the kind of stone you are, how many people have seen living stone before? Is to tell you it's a parable. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. What do they use stones to do? You can get it. Build. You get it. Did you say cube bed? Hey, God. Verse 5. Ye also are living stones. What are you? Built up a? So are you a house? You, where did you start off from? A stone. And then you are now a? So God is trying to use different things you can relate to tell you about you. I'm sure God didn't think you used stone to kill bed. If not, you don't have used stone. You believe that you used stone to build. So he's talking about house, build. Amen. Praise God. Look at it there. So he says, so you need to understand that when you're reading the Bible is written with relatable speech, sometimes of its day. Amen. Okay, he says, ye are also lively stones. You have built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. We're talking about the purpose of your life. Oh, to offer up. So what is my purpose on earth? Now that I've been called a stone and a house, I am to do what? Offer what? Pneumaticos. Sacrifices of the spirit. Amen. Amen. Acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Can I say you were saved to sacrifice? Amen. What were you saved to do? Sacrifice. Who is the first high priest? Jesus Christ. What did you see him doing? He came and sacrificed his life. Are you getting the message of the gospel? He came and he did what? He sacrificed his life. And so we're getting into the practicals. I'm just getting to the practicals now. So we now know that you're a high priest. You are set apart unto God to sacrifice. And we now said, we are now in 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 9, we said you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who has called you out of darkness into light. How did he do it? He entered your heart, and by the Holy Spirit, I made you a living sacrifice. That's not what I said, but you are correct. But living stone, a spiritual house, a royal. You see, so if you say you have identity problem, you just are not reading the Bible. There are too many things that you are called, that someone called you stupid and you took that one. You just wanted to take it. It's too many. If you don't like lively stone, he says spiritual house. You don't like spiritual house, holy nation. You don't like holy nation, chosen generation. You don't like chosen generation, peculiar people. You don't say you are stupid. You don't say he called me stupid, and you are meditating over it. After a while, you do it for so long, you start acting stupidly. Because the moment your mind believes something, it starts to act in that way. Amen. That is how you walk out. That's how you walk out of sin. You get to know who you are. Who are you? I'm holy. I'm holy. I am holy. I am set apart. That's what. Why do we serve? So we don't just wake up and say we want to serve. We don't serve to please God. We serve because we are acting out our nature. We know we are saved to serve. We offer up spiritual sacrifices. And sometimes and most times, because it is to men, some is physical too. Praise God. But it is evaluated spiritually. Praise the Lord. And so I'm now moving with speed. First Peter 2, we ended up in verse 17. I'm going to read from verse 16. It says, as free. Someone say, I'm free. See, too many things the Bible calls you that you can't say you don't know who you are. I'm free. I'm not using my liberty as a cloak of maliciousness. I am free, but I don't use it for wickedness. I don't use it for strife, malice. So it's not about, it's not about will God be angry, will God not be angry. It's about our nature. Our nature now determines how we do. Who are we? We are free. But we are now and that's why we always say, when you tell someone his sins are forgiven, the first thing people always think of is that, are you saying go out and go and do anything you like? That cannot be. It is just saying you are now free. Leave distraction so you can serve. What was sin as a nature? A baggage that you carry. And so what does God do? He comes and takes away that baggage, gives you a new life so you can do what you really should be doing. So it's not that now you are doing what you really, now that the sin is no longer there, you say, no, I'm just going to live anyhow. No, that was not the purpose of it. Do people live anyhow? Yes, they do. Are they still Christians? Yes, they are. Are they working in God's plan and God's purpose? No, they are not. So how, you don't sometimes even pick your examples from what people do. Because sometimes in the days and age we are in, as we see in this series, it says there are perilous times. Men shall be lovers of themselves. 2 Timothy 3 verse 1. And so you pick this for example. People think that you come into ministry so that you can have a private jet. That's what was rocking during my time 13, 15 years ago. What did it raise? A covetous people. People just wanted to be for the wrong reasons. Amen. And that's why you must understand that you are in the days where which you must remember. Listen, it doesn't matter where you find yourself. You are a royal priesthood. Oh, yeah, let me say it well before. You are a royal priest. Only you cannot be hood. You are a royal priest. Amen. You are a royal priest. No matter who comes to come and tell you, you are a royal priest. Your assignment will be to serve other men. It's there. Why? You have a priest that ever lived it. And you are walking under him. Amen and amen. Amen. It doesn't matter what anybody says. Let me tell you something. People always wonder, if you keep talking like this, what happened to my personal needs? Listen, we are not, and that's where people struggle with this. They say, this one, it looks like, sometimes, not every time. This one, it just looks like they don't care about will I get this or will I get that. The teaching we are teaching you would actually aid you to navigate life. Amen. And that's why, I've been saying this since we're going to get practical. People don't see how this thing practically works. How, I'm now a priest. Okay, how does it affect my home? I am a priest. How does it affect me at work? Guess what? The Bible covers everything. Not by everything. I am now a priest. How does it affect my relationship with my brother?
I am now a priest. How does it affect me dating? People think, no, I'm, no, no, no. That's why sometimes it's just nowadays we're just trying to now say we'll start breaking it down. Because me, I used to think that when we tell you you're a priest, you apply it in everything. But I realized that people are only applying their priesthood in church. They go outside and they are rebels. You say, no, we'll change the message. So that you will see it clearly that the priesthood we are talking about to you in church, because you know it's February, you say love more, love more. It affects your dating. You're a priest. You cannot be just asking 16 girls out. What's wrong with you? Amen. Praise God, you'll be lying. You're a priest. You're a priest. You understand accountability. Yeah. It applies, but people don't see that. It does apply. Okay, let me, because I'm going to teach this one. In public service announcement, if you want to hear about marriage and relationship, and all, you can come next week. According to my note, I may not finish what I'm going to teach this week. I've never done. So maybe come in 2 weeks' time. Praise God. Any which way, and you don't know how, come in April. Amen. Praise God. All right, what do we see in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17? Honor how many people? Who is to honor? The priest. Therefore, I cannot function in my priestly office if I don't have honor for men. What is honor? Honor is a sense of value. A sense. So you don't see men after the flesh. You must have a Christ lens. You know, I always tell people, sometimes marriages can fail between two people, meaning that they are struggling in the marriage. Do you know what they should do? They should come back to factor settings. We are what? Brethren. We are believe. Imagine me, I'm Sister Dami now. Sister Dami is over there. You know, there's a way she would talk to me. Okay, let me use two people that are in the church because they will say honor. Imagine Dami and Tosin that they are talking. You know, they will talk to themselves respectfully. Except they are high or drunk. You understand? Like, hi, brother, how are you? You see, Sister Dami is carrying a cake. Brother, Tosin, oh, can I carry it for you? So, oh, God. You know, Sister Buki is coming too. Brother Vicky is saying, oh, is that heavy for you? Everybody's walking in love with one another. Why? They see themselves as brethren. Yeah. But you know what happens? People think that we get into marriage, you are only, I am boo. So, you know, you see, and that's why some people serve the saints better than their spouses. Because they are in the fear of God, the love walk, I must be there. They've taught us service. But when you come home now, you are not a principality and a power. With Sister Buki, you will be, because some people don't think this thing is practical. Yeah. With Sister Buki, you're like, how are you? How was your week? You okay? Can I carry that for you? They'll say, ah, what a nice brother. At home, he has never said to his wife, how are you? He doesn't just see it. He is wondering, what will I say? Do we communicate at this level? Ah, boy, you say, ah. So sometimes, go and ask people that are married, if they'll be honest, they'll be wondering, it's like my husband is bipolar. I'm telling you fact. Why? In church, he's the brother I want to have as husband. At home, I don't know who I met. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. He will carry chair, he will carry trouser, he will watch the sanctuary, he will do all of it. He's in 14 groups. Serving the saints, server. Amen. But he thinks and he has forgotten. So when marriage gets to a point, you come back to honor all men. Value. Let me tell you, what do we call it? You know, there is value that you have for people. Value you have for the saints that makes you serve them. I hope nobody here is serving so that Pastor Dai will clap for you. I don't clap. Amen. Hey, praise God. I'm one of the nicest people you meet, but the truth is that I hope it's not because of me. Yeah. Value for the saints. Who do you see in Sister Ayola? I hope it's not Sister Ayola. I hope you see Christ. You think I came here for Sister Ayola? That might not come because of me. I came here because of Jesus. Who is Ayola? Jesus. Jesus said, the people were in prison. You came to see them. They said, when did we serve you? When you did it to one of the least of the brethren, you did it to me. So before you can serve in this our kingdom, the first thing you must understand is you must see men as people that you honor. It must be there. There must be value for people. If there is no value for people, you would abuse your priestly ministry. If there is no value, you will always have excuses. Listen, I'm a pastor. I understand that life happens to people, but you will not always have excuses all the time if you value people. Have you realized that as a girl, really, if you love a man, you don't miss the date. Some people might get it at home. You know, it's the man you don't love, you'll be giving an excuse. Can we postpone the dinner next week? You know what? Can we do it next year? You know, it's the man you don't like, you don't reply his DM. You just see it. You know, there's some people you don't pick up their call. Women know this. They will even save your name as don't pick.
even on a bad day. You see someone, they would save your name as disturber. You better collect someone's phone and see who you really are to them. Call your number. You see who you really are. You say, sister, your ladder, no one. But hey, you see, not, but well, we believe that that's not how, the way we see ourselves. Yeah, but I am telling you that value is the first thing. If you don't, and the value is not coming from what people do. What did you do to make Jesus die? Are you getting the message? What did you do? Because if you don't have this honor, you won't understand Christianity. You will question things. What did you do to make Jesus die and come out of the grave just to give you life and understanding? Nothing. While you were yet a sinner, he died for you. Romans 5 verse 8. Then you pick up a ministry. Say, I am that man. Come on, I am that man that honors all men. What is the problem with our age? Is in Matthew 15 verse 7. Matthew 15 verse 7. I'm trying to get practical, but I am very systematic. That's my problem. I should just say, honor everybody, let's rise up on our feet and go. But I won't allow me. Okay, Matthew 15 verse 7. Ye, I want you to be there. Ye, okay. I'm not abusing you and it's not talking to you. Amen. Ye, hypocrites, well did Isaiah the prophet say unto you, these people draweth near unto me with their mouth, but and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from. So the first thing you must understand about honor is that honor is a thing of the heart. It is not first of the lips. You see it in the lips, but we are in dangerous days. You see people say, wow. That brethren. Oh my God. You know we're using Sister Ayola today. Let's just use her. You're talking about Ayola. I serve Sister Ayola. I'll be there for her. I'm praying for her. She's going through things. I'll be there for her. When Sister Ayola just leaves the room. When we're talking to Sister Ayola, you say you pray for her. Come off it. You are joking, right? I thought as much. What would that be? Sister Ayola thinks that if she doesn't have the gift of the Spirit, what does she think? They honor me. But it was just lip service. Real honor is of the church. It is of the. It's just that it flows to the mouth. That's why sometimes you see someone that's always been like, you just think that's honor. Yes, sir. Afternoon, sir. Good afternoon, sir. Let the person have money. Are you getting what I'm saying? Honor is of the heart. Let the person have money. In fact, sometimes poverty is a behavior, is a director of behavior. So be careful how you take poor people. Because you don't know the character of the brother yet. I'm putting it in context, in terms of character. Son doesn't have money. He can want to greet you. Lord Mayor one. Before you is you. Melchizedek one. And you'll be like, oh my God. They did this thing to Jesus. And then he has money. He has been greeting you. He just made $5 billion from cryptocurrency. He just looks at you. Depending that he used to do like this and he's like, hi. You're right. You know, there's no problem with you're right. Just that the you're right was not what you're writing before. Money has shown us the real you. Head of department cannot tell you to carry chairs. Why? Because they know you are that brother that never didn't want people to know who he is. He's not the one shouting, do you know who I am? Are you seeing what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. Honor is of the heart. And it's not from any of these other things. It must be fixed in one thing. Jesus died for that guy. That is why when anything changes, you have 1 billion. What will still be your focus? Jesus died for that guy. If it is any other thing, you will not see men as people to value. Amen. And that's why we preach it this way. Because I know that people here will do very well financially. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so that it doesn't look like, you know, finances become the way you now missed it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Amen. Look at verse 8. Is it for me? Yes. Oh my God. Thank you. Okay. All right.
All right, look at verse 8. These people draw near unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they. So, honor. Listen to Jesus now. Honor and worship and service, do they go hand in hand? If the honor, meaning the heart, is wrong, will the worship be wrong? Follow me. He says, in vain do they worship me. Where did their behavior or that lie, hypocrisy of honor, where did it come from? In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine, the commandment of. So what you are fed, the truth you know, is what determines if you're a honorable man. Are you getting what I'm saying? Honor is not just something that you know what. It's our own. Honor is not even cultural. Though there is culture in some cultures. There is honor in some. If you are from where I come from, Yoruba people, you know, everybody is uncle, auntie, brother, sister. You are bowing. Yeah, it's there. But that's not the biblical one for us. Meaning that we are saying it's above culture. It's about a resurrection. Are you getting what I'm saying? He says, this is the problem. So if you are feasting on the wrong doctrine, you will not be able to worship God well. Yeah. So it is first teaching. Right teaching. That's why the most important thing in your life, after you believe the gospel, is a local church where which you hear the truth. Yeah. If not, your worship will be in vain. And it can be in vain for many years. Look at it. He says, for in vain. Imagine you've done it. I was preaching like this. Where was I preaching this? I was preaching this. Was it in Liverpool? As I was preaching, and a woman broke down over there. After the service, we were greeting everybody. What's the problem? She said, lovely message. But after all I have done for Jesus, you have come to tell me that I don't have a greater rank, that the rank that we have is the same. We are all righteous. Because she thought that it is what she does that makes her God's favorite. Then they invite a small-looking, happy-go man of God. You know, my own man of God is this kind of small man of God that you first despise. I remember going to go and preach there. I was preaching. They thought I was doing the charge and intro. People were telling people, when we just doing the charge, we're waiting for the real man of God. It has happened to me a lot of times. That's why God always just surprised everybody with signs and wonders following. I went to a church to go and meet. Everybody was just saying, when first service, I went to tell my wife, we're talking about it this morning. I went to tell my wife, it's like I'm preaching in this show and it's bouncing back. You know this kind of meeting when you're preaching, it's bouncing. You know that you are of God. You know what happened in that service? And that's how God does it. A woman came into the service with a broken hand. Even me, I was wondering, when you break your hand, you go to the A&E. Why did you come to church? You want to disgrace me? That's the first me. And strangely, I was talking about the power of God. So everybody's looking like, okay, you're talking about power of God. We don't go believe anyway. And then someone comes in with a broken hand. I just said, everybody wants to see a miracle. I don't even know what made me say it. If you just want to say we are blessed, you will not be here. You say when you get home. You know when you get home, you see the miracle. It's not a big deal. Because if you don't see, you cannot come back and abuse the pastor. I said, anybody here has got a miracle? Wants to see a miracle? They said, want to see a miracle. And then it's not a problem. I said, anybody that I see, come out. The man came out with a broken hand. I'm sure my wife must have been like, he's dead. That's how you always boast everywhere. I said, you all would see a miracle now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Everybody heard it. The hand entered. Everybody was shouting glory to God. When I was leaving the service, the way people are, the people that I was preaching to, people were like, As I was just passing, everybody, where were they? On their knee. Bless you, sir. Thank you, sir. Glory, sir. I said, listen. I was a straight boy before God saved me. I know what you are doing. It doesn't move me, but it's on my heart. Amen. Honor is first of the heart. And the purpose and the way honor is that Christ died for them. If it is not that one, it's not the one we're talking about. And before you can have it, it's the teaching that will help you. So, right, as we start to conclude. Now, we said, what are the different ways where which the priest operates in his priestly office? We said honor. So, how do we honor? Who do we honor? We said honor all men. Okay, so if you wanted to break it down, we want to say, number one, honor all men. Let us first start from why we honor, which is what I've been saying since morning. The honor for God. Someone say honor for God. When we say honor for God, we're talking about, because every other honor will come from what you read in the written word. So honor for God will be honor and value. Say, I am vulnerable to the written word. Look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119 verse 127. I want us to read that quickly. How I love thy commandments, O God. You know, it's honor for the world that makes you read it. Put it first. It doesn't matter what your emotions are saying. When you see the word of God say something contrary, you stop and do what the word says. Amen. Church, say amen.
Amen.
That's what 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2 is saying. Grow by taking in the word of God. That's what he's saying there. Look, are you in Psalm 119 verse 127? He says, how I love thy commandments. How did he say it? I want you to read it from there. I have it in my brain. How I love thy commandments more than gold. Is that what's in your Bible?
Yes.
All right. No, read it for me. Let me hear it.
I love thy commandments
above gold. Are you seeing what David is saying? Above what?
Gold.
You know, God is still struggling with a lot of people and money. Amen? Yeah. He said, I put it first. When God is first, everything finds its place. Amen. We don't actually love gold. We actually use gold to serve God and meet the needs of men. And okay, have a good life. Praise God. Look at it. I'm in verse 27. Therefore, I love. Someone say, I love.
I love.
It's a love story. They say you should come and read God's word. You are getting angry. You are angry with Bible study. Your wife will say, let's do Bible study together. You are angry. Ah, no. You rebuke yourself. Say, I'm a new creation. I'm a lover of the word. He says, therefore, I love thy commandments above gold. Yea, above fine gold. It's here we know that even Davis knew that there was fake gold, normal gold, and the purest gold. Amen. It is from this Bible I realized that it's true. There is one that is 7 carats, 18 carats, and which is another one? 27 carats, and it goes. I love it more than fine gold. He's even telling you, it's not gold plated. I love God's word more than fine gold. Look at it. We're there. Therefore, can you see that there is a therefore? So, my love for God's word is not just a statement. It shows in what I, therefore I esteem. See value. I and all thy precept concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false. So the word of God becomes my navigation, my direction, my correction. Say, I'm vulnerable to God's word. So when God's word says something, don't go and say, I want to pray about this thing. You know, people are like that. I love where the singles and marriage seminar last night, and a lady made a phenomenal statement. She said, do not fall in love before you pray. If you try it, you realize that you can hear God's voice, but it's yours. Because you love the man or the woman. You love the shape. It's the shape that is speaking. You will love something to appear in your dream. Thou, oh son of man. You say an angel came to your room. It's the love. Amen. I love thy law. So when the word says something, God has spoken. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. When the word, so the word is the navigation for your life. Know it. Understand it. Okay, let's look. Okay, so when we have honor the word, then we have honor for the saints. Amen. Church, amen.
Amen.
Church, amen.
Amen.
Church, amen.
Amen.
Honor for the what?
Saints.
Honor for who?
Saints.
So, I see the same, because we're going to get very, very practical. Obviously, it's going towards our next week's service. But honor for what?
The saints.
Look at Romans 12, verse 10. Honor for who?
The saints.
What do I have for the saints? Why do I honor them?
I want to see if you have been hearing all I've been saying this morning. Why do I honor the saints? Brilliant. Christ died for them. That's why James will say it in another way. James 2 says, if someone comes into the church and is wearing fine clothes, and another person is wearing clothes that is not fine, and you put one forward near pastor, and you put say the other one should stay behind. He says, that's what we're talking about. What do you lack? Honor for the saints. You see people based on what they have. You don't see them based on the resurrection. If we see people based on the resurrection, every believer is at the same level. First, as believers. Then you now have hierarchy in the things of you have deacons and all those kind of things. Are you getting the point here? All right, look at. Let's close with this. You can come and start playing now. Romans 12. Look at verse 9. Honor for the saints. Church, honor for the saints. I want you to be there. Let love. So you will see that, you can write this down. Honor is a subsect of love. You get it? So it's love, honor. Who you love, you honor. You value. There must be a very clear. I hope you'll be here. I don't know if it's next week or two when I'm talking about marriage or dating. You might not like it. If we cannot see in your wife that you value her, we cannot see it. And that's why people can pretend. But it must be clear. It must be news flash that my wife is not in your class when it comes to me. It must be clear. There must be a value clear for your husband. It's not about value clear. Value clear. Value. It's clear. I prize this man. So you listen to what he's saying. You know, amen. Because when you were dating, you were on the phone for 4 hours. Now he's at home with you. He's talking. You are yawning. Value. I mean value. It's value. You will see it in scriptures. You know, there is a way you value a man. There are some things you will not say. There is a way you value a woman. There are some things you will not say. And let me now make it balanced. And then even when you say it, you go back to repent. You know, you say you value, you love somebody. You can't say, I'm sorry. You say, it's just how we are in our family. No. It's not how you are in your family. It's just you have chosen not to follow God's word. Amen. Amen. Honor those who, if they were afar, you would have valued. But now they are near. So don't lose. It's difficult, but don't lose the honor for people because they decided to give you the privilege to be part of their lives. I said I will not talk about marriage. Because people think when I talk about marriage, they come and bring me a flower. No, our own is different. Flower is there. Flower is too also part of honor. If your wife likes flower, bro, cut the bush. Amen. Amen. Value. You say, why am I cutting the bush? I'm cutting the bush because my wife is a bush woman. It's simple. It's not a problem. You are doing it because of the person. I'm an introvert to the core. If I've ever traveled, I've never traveled because I wanted to travel. It's because of somebody I decided to marry who is an extrovert. So when you say, we are going to Hawaii, you just know that, oh no. She's not here, I can see it. Oh no, it's honor. It's honor. It's honor. Value, it must be clear. She knows, you know, we know. You are dating somebody, they cannot introduce you to people. Say, no, keep this relationship. Shh. Say, yeah. You are playing. I don't even know if Borazoli could like this. That's Monopoly. You're a game. You are not ready. People say, Pastor, I want you to talk about relationship. You go home. Honor. See, I told a sister, you don't honor this man enough to love to marry him. You don't. You know he's not. Value. That's not where we're going. Let's go back to the saints. You want to push me into relationship because you are giving me the response I like. I shall not enter the flesh. Romans 12 verse 10. Brother Victory, increase a little. Let me close this service. They want me to preach next week's sermon, and I choose not to. Verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation, meaning pretense. Let it be legit from the heart. He says, abhor, hate that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. So what is that which is good? Me loving that other person genuinely.
Amen. It says there, we are going to verse 10. Be kindly affectioned. That word in the Greek is philostorgos. It means a kind of love that is family bound. A family kind of love. He's talking, you know, we're back to honoring the saints. Yeah. Philostorgos. A love. You see the one as brother. He says, be kindly affectionate. You are emotional about your brother. You know, that's what can make you wake up and pray for the person. You know, I'm talking about the priest. The priest is concerned about the lives of men. He's concerned about the life of his brother. He says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. Is it there in your Bible? With brotherly love. Brotherly. Philostorgos. Brotherly. Is my brother. It's my brother, it's my sister. And that's why God ordains that everybody's in the local church. Because you can't be committed to every believer in the world. Are you here? Are you hearing me? So that's why God puts that's why every believer must be in a local church. Because in the local church, there is an expectation of your commitment. Because with love, there is commitment. Are you getting what I'm saying? So if I am saying I love you, I am saying that I am committed to you. So really, in factual practicality, I can update there if you are in a place where there are, you know, many, many, many people, you might not be able to do it. But God puts everybody in a local church, systems, and put you in there and expect your commitment there. It says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In church, are you there? I'm invested in. What does honor mean again? Preferring church. What does it mean? Preferring what? Think about honor in preferring the other, putting the other first. You know, it will streamline your attitude, your behavior, what you do, what you are available for, what you are not available for. What is honor? Putting the other first. Amen. I remember that time I was a pastor. I have not recovered from it. A lady walked up to the local church and told me, Pastor, I hear that you're about to buy a building. I said, and I hear also that it's out of town. Pastor, I know you wanted to release this information. I say, you know all these kind of words. When you release this information later, she said, I'm about to choose a couple of houses to buy. And I wanted to ensure that me buying my house does not affect, is not affected or wherever. This, I'm saying it blew my mind. I'm about to make a decision as house buying. I'm just giving an example of how someone practiced it. And my commitment to the saints, I didn't want to jeopardize this. And she said, please, can you tell? And so we said, oh yeah, this is the area we're going, this is the paper, this is where we're going to buy the building. And guess what? It was the building that was nearest to that place that she bought. Ah! I was like, what? You might say, it's that one's business. I know it's her business, but that's value. That's honor. That's it. Call it whatever you like. That's it. You hear the woman, the name of that man, Barnabas, they nicknamed him. You know, there's a way you do something, they look out and they give you a new nickname. They call him the son of consolation. He was the one Ananias and Sapphira wanted to copy. There was a problem in the local church and the guy came. See, no matter who you are as an Israeli, you understand it even till today. You don't sell your land. Let anybody want to die. In those days, if your mother needs money for treatment and all you have is your land, you don't sell it. Because your land is how they trace your heritage in Israel. It got to a point, they said, all of a sudden, because people don't understand the practicalities, it's only about Dickens that will be understanding it now. They said, oh my God, all of a sudden, Peter preached a message, 3,000 people are saved. They said they are not going home anymore because they came from outside and they all got saved, 3,000 people. Peter wakes up and is the pastor of a 3,120 man church. He preaches the second message, 5,000. Third message, they said, uncountable. What was the practical reality? How will these people eat? How will we feed them? The Bible says a man called Barnabas, the son of consolation, he took the heritage that we can trace his life. He sold the land and brought the earnings and put it at the feet of the guys. Honor, value. So the truth is that nobody tells you what to do. Your value describes what you do. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, that's it. Value. So you know, saying in this church right now from today, you are going to... No. Value. Your understanding of the gospel now determines how you sacrifice. And that's what I teach as it relates to money. Nobody comes and dictates money. But there is a way you will be growing. As you are growing, value will make you committed financially. Amen. That's it. Then Ananias and Sapphira heard, eh? Because everybody had nicknamed him the son of some consolation. They said, ah, wait till we like a nickname. That's when they went to go and sell their land and say, Ananias came and said, come here. We are not Barnabas. So. we'll take 20%. And Peter did what he did. But the point is, honor. How did Ananias and Sapphira behave? They honored, but with their lips. Their heart was not there. How did Barnabas, the son of consolation, do it? His heart was there. He saw it as a thing. You know, you sell your house. Do you know it's because you see the saints as more than the Stayola coming, Stayola as a human being. You see them. You say, they are worth it. That's what you do with your time. You know, outside of even this thing, you sit down, you teach the saints, maybe cryptocurrency, because you think he's too broke. He needs some money. You teach him Photoshop because you think his pictures are ugly. You spend time. If it is time that you have, you spend. Why? It's honor. It comes from honor. Be kindly affectioned one to another in brotherly love, honoring one another. Let me end up with marriage. Go into your marriages, honoring one another, and see if Eldorado will not start. No, I'm the head of the house. I don't wash plate. No, you wash the plate and say, I've washed it. Is there anything you can do? Imagine you start a counter-attack of honor in the family. Meaning, I'm preferring you are preferring me. I remember many years ago, my wife, we did this thing. We were honoring one another in terms of gifts. I'll be honest, I later stopped. Because I wanted to do the word of God, I was just starting. Give her gifts, you retaliate. Give her gifts, you retaliate. It got to a point, I said, you know what? Yeah, you love me more than I love you. Yeah. But prefer one another. You are busy about Sadiq. Sadiq is busy about you. Who wants to beat who? Proper competition of love. No, proper one. Say, no. I've cleared the bush. I've cleared the brack. I've cleared it. What do you want to do now? Say, no, I've cooked your jollof rice. Yeah. Honoring one another. The person has faults. You are not nagging. You are praying and correcting. They meet you, even the way you talk to God about your husband. It's not that God sometimes cannot respond or you cannot hear. God will say, that's dishonorable. You are talking to God, my husband, his head is not correct. Even him, we always tell you, say your mind. But learn or no. God help him. His wisdom needs growing. And when God is already understanding that you're trying to say, he's not. Practice honor so that your mind will know that there are some things you don't do. It gets to a point, there's a way even your spouse is viewed and addressed because of how you view and address and value that person. Value, honor. How you treat the saints. You know, it comes to a point you say, no. Church is 10 o'clock. Church is 10:30. I'm sorry, I cannot come for that. I can't do that. You know, you get to a point, if you are really valuable around people, they'll start rearranging their schedule around. No, Ayola can't come. Ayola will be doing glory at 2:30 somewhere. We know. Let's change it. Let everybody know that Jesus is first to you. Don't make him second. Let people know that this Jesus died for me, and he died for saints, and he's in them, and I will live for them, and that's me fulfilling my life and destiny. Rise upon your feet. Say, I'm that man that honors the saints. Say, I fulfill my priestly ministry. Come on, I fulfill my priestly ministry. Come on, I fulfill. This is God's plan for me. Say, this is God's plan for me. I start off here, and God takes over along the way. I start off with the known, and God reveals the unknown.